that afternoon. Richard Hamill did not become overly superstitious until his mandatory retirement after 38 years. That was only his public retirement, as the retiree called it, because he had immediately gone to work as a consultant for the Office of Naval Intelligence. Major Becky Lewis of the Transnational Threat Department remembered him from a logistics conference years before and booked him a train ticket. She recalled him having spoken about his love of hunting, and it was not Hamill's years in the Navy that interested her, but his unique knowledge of the game lands throughout the state and fellow hunters. Hamill had recently celebrated the 25th anniversary of PAVE, Pennsylvania Venison, a loose collective he had co-founded and which helped feed veterans suffering hard times. Hunters dropped off food at his home, and he brought it to veterans in his station wagon. His own kills were among those hand-delivered to the group. Now, most days, Hamill was busier than when he had been running the supply and support services for naval operations at NSA Philadelphia. His reconnaissance for the Office of Naval Intelligence was dangerous work, as it turned out. Much more dangerous than bear or bobcat. His job was to circle ever closer over 500 acres to a target that his handler only suspected was real. Its possible existence was something she surmised based on information from Tychinus, a debriefed arms dealer. The gun and explosives runner had kept using the words Black Order, though neither Major Lewis nor Atlas Hamill had ever heard of such a thing. Initially, she had taken those words to describe a secret purchase agreement. But then she wondered if it might be part of a name. Just yesterday, when he returned from his latest walk in the woods, as he downplayed his activities to Sophia, he began to have a feeling that he was not just looking and watching, but being watched. A hunter's instinct, nothing more, which he communicated to Major Lewis. If Sophia knew how risky the work was, she would have dragged her husband to safety, just as she had put her small arms around him and hauled him to and from the rooftop. All he had said, in passing, was that if Sophia ever needed anything from the Navy, she should press 2 on speed dial. She, of course, was number 1. Well, he thought, America was born in danger and would always face such challenges. Philadelphia's native son, Benjamin Franklin, had risked his life just by showing up for meetings and affixing his name to an immortal document. Should I do less? Just a half hour before, after walking to Walnut Street to remind the Founding Fathers that yet another American presidency was soon to begin, Captain Atlas Hamill lay on his back and shut his eyes. He did not lament his fears, but welcomed them. He was proud and content thinking about the few tourists who had stood with him in the cold amidst the skeletal winter trees, looking up at the bell tower, its famed contours set emphatically against a gibbous moon. He was somewhere between wakefulness and sleep when a bus growled 3 floors below on the corner of Spruce and South Third. Sophia had never liked the sound and the faint whiff of fuel, but it made her husband smile. Both had a comforting, almost narcotic effect on the system. Diesel was in the noses of most seamen. Functioning machinery was in their ears. This was especially true when they bedded down in bunks stacked 3 or 4 high. At lights out, the olfactory and auditory senses were undistracted. Sleep came just as the point of a knife stung the throat of Captain Hamill, its straight edge going deep under his Adam's apple and causing blood to gush into his windpipe. He gasped, the flood burbling as it poured into his windpipe and rose in his throat, backing into his mouth. Sophia Hamill woke when she heard gurgling and wheezing sounds to her right. It was faint enough so that she thought, at first, a homeless person was regurgitating in the street. Then she was aware of it being closer, much closer, and rolled toward her husband. She saw his dark shape trembling violently against the glow of the clock on the night table.
Richard!
The woman jerked upright, her right arm flinging out to find